come one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Hey guys, it's Jess.
It's Alan.
And we just wanted to introduce you to episode 2, where we continue our fun friend hangout that went far too long.
It went way too long. So if you didn't listen to the last episode, that's fine. No worries. You don't have to go back and listen. But we were talking about bands that we think are, I don't want to say overrated, bands that other people seem to love that maybe we're not big fans of.
Yeah, and we really put it out there for people to get mad at us, so, you know.
Yeah, this one starts off firing, man. This one starts off hot. So we're going to jump right into that discussion. It's Talk Music to Me. Website, again, is talkmusictomeslc.com. Okay. This one is probably going to piss some people off, too.
All right.
And again, I actually like a lot of this band's early stuff. I can't stand the front man. I can't stand him. It's No Effects. I fucking hate.
I agree with this.
I can't stand Fat Mike. He's an asshole. He's a piece of shit. And to me, it's crazy. I've heard interviews with bands. Oh, Nate's gonna come across the
his
table.
His lips are so tight.
His eyebrows are like way up in his
mustache
on his head.
Almost disappeared.
But here's the thing. Their early stuff was great.
It was amazing. I played a lot of it in my punk band.
Up until the War on Errorism was great. Wolves in, what was it? Wolves in Wolves Clothing or whatever.
Yeah, Wolves in Wolves Clothing.
That's a good record too. After that, it's all garbage. Garbage. It's not good music after
that.
I'm sorry.
Nate's going to throw
it. And here's the other thing.
He's blinking a lot. He's blinking a lot.
I can't decide if I'm going to cry or if
I'm going
to
their early music was
like throw up.
Their early music was not just good. It was goddamn good. Like
so
really,
good.
Really good.
So good.
Their later stuff, it's not good music. It's terrible. And it kind of. Talk about irony. Maybe it's not ironic. I don't even know it's ironic anymore.
Don't even bring that up to me.
Here's the thing. I've heard a lot of interviews with bands, like on Turned Out of Punk and a bunch of other podcasts. And you hear bands that are on Fat Records, and they're like, yeah, we sent our demos to Fat Mike. And he's like, you guys gonna need a demo more. You need a demo more. And it's just so to think that he, of all people, who is releasing some of the worst music I've ever heard in my life later on in their career, that he's telling any band that they need to demo more is a fucking joke. Because their early music was terrible, their later music's terrible, but they had that sweet spot from like Two Hebes all the way up to Wolves and Wolves Clothing. Those were good records. They were solid. War on Errorism is fantastic.
Yeah. Which is funny for that album, just because if you didn't know, that was supposed to be the Green Day American Idiot. But then.
So was Anti-Flags.
Green Day American Idiot decided to overrun the whole
Anti-Flag
to
the
Bush
scene.
And
right.
Anti-Flag
went
had
to
the
a,
same thing.
They went to a major label just to do that.
Yep.
And then American Idiot came out and they're like, oh, well, they did
well,
it.
Fuck. Yeah.
Green Day is another band that's just hanging up. They're terrible. I was at the gym today and I heard they were playing one of their new singles. It is
so bad.
It's the best Nickelback song I've ever heard in my life.
So I bought the album. And
God damn it. Hurts my soul from the early Kerplunk. Bring Kerplunk
back. I
know,
it's bad. Wait, you bought the record?
Well, I had to because it's just like my natural instinct that if I love a band, I have to buy the album. So I sat down one night and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get drunk. And sorry, I just like put my mouth and my hand together so you can hear it.
But coronavirus.
Whatever, coronavirus now. So I decided I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to listen to this album and I'm going to piece it together.
I love us.
I cannot tell you how bad that album is. Like, I mean, what's the point? Because what's the point? Because we all know you just have to listen to it for 5 seconds and you're like, what the fuck, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, what the fuck? Really went bad.
It's bad.
Went bad.
I only heard one song. It's bad.
No, the whole thing start to bottom. Oh, it's so bad.
I stopped listening to Green Day once he started doing Broadway and acting and...
Oh, I didn't listen to another record after Dookie.
So I did. Insomniac was really good.
American Idiot is really good.
But I, you know, like...
I don't know. That September End song is... Ugh.
I never listened after that. But
so bad. So bad.
But I want to go back to the NoFX thing because I was...
Yeah, we got to go back to NoFX.
I was in a punk band in high school called Botulism. And... we played a lot of NoFX songs, but I was watching, I saw something, I'm on Facebook and I see this like alert that was like Fat Mike kicks a fan in the face.
Yeah.
So I watched the video and this fan jumps up and he's just jumping on the stage and singing. And at some point he trips and falls and Fat Mike with his big boots goes up and kicks him in the face. And it wasn't just a little kick. I mean, he could have broke his neck.
He's a piece of shit.
I'm sure he destroyed his nose and he broke out his teeth. It was the worst thing, the most violent thing I have ever seen. And then he made fun of the Las Vegas shooting. And I was like, you know what, Fat Mike? Fuck you. Fuck you. You don't get to do and say whatever you want. You are not a god.
That's the thing. He thinks he is. And that's the thing I think that bugs me the most. It's not even just that. He's done so many things over the years that are unbelievably bullshit. I read their book.
Which Nate gave it to me. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's actually a great book. And I actually had a little bit more respect for him because at least he can own up to it. He's like, I just don't feel sorry for people. I don't know what to say. It's not like I don't try. I just don't feel sorry for people.
Yep.
And I don't know what it is, but I just don't. And so at least he owns up to it. But still, fuck him. He's not a good guy. He's not a good person.
He's a hypocrite. He's in the worst way. He talks about how he has a right to say whatever he wants to say, but then he gets mad at a church for expressing their views. And it's like, dude, you can't have like that both ways. Like you just look at his lineage of everything that he's ever done. It's not good. And I agree with you in that. And yeah, the later music probably not as good. I still don't hate it. It's just not my favorite. It's kind of like AFI. It's like I don't like anything after Sing the Sorrow.
Half of Sing the Sorrow was good. The rest was like their new
and
December Underground shit. It's terrible.
Terrible. Love, Burials, all that. And, you know, but if I hear it, it doesn't make me angry. It's just like, oh, you could have been so much better.
Right.
What did you do? But yeah, like with NoFX, I can see why people hate their music, though. That's the thing. Like, I liked some of their albums, and then I didn't like a lot of their albums. I read the book. And I started to get an understanding like, oh my God, that makes sense why this album sounds this way, or that's why this sounds so shitty. And it kind of opened up my eyes so that I kind of had an appreciation. Right. But they're not a band where I'm just like, oh man, I am feeling the NoFX fix.
I'm going to devour everything they release.
Exactly.
I will say this. The Decline is...
so good.
Probably my favorite song. I mean, I hesitate to call it a song because it's 20 minutes long, but it is incredible.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. I love every second of that song. And it's amazing.
And the funny thing is, so I went to the Warped Tour 25th year in California, very last show, hence, or air quotes, by the way.
It's last just show, like air last quotes. Show.
Yeah. So, NoFX is supposed to be coming. They are late. Because their plane was late. So the city of California, city of Mountain View.
Sound like Carl Malone.
Yeah, I sound like fucking Trump with Kansas City. City of, whatever. So anyway, city of Mountain View has a curfew of 10 o'clock. They actually had to get an ordinance passed so that they could actually go past the 10 o'clock curfew so that NoFX could perform the very last Warped Tour show. Now, while we were all waiting, because nobody knew what was going on, it was just like, okay,
they
had a rotating stage the entire time. So when one band finished, it rotated. They took 5 minutes, no joke, and then the next band would play. And then it would rotate around, and then it would continue on. And all of a sudden, after Jawbreaker, it's just like nothing for 30 minutes. And we're all just kind of staring at each other like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it's been a long time. No effects should be coming on anytime. So then all of a sudden, Kevin Lyman has to come out and talk about like, yeah, they're delayed. Their plane landed late. Sorry, everyone. We're working on this. So in the meantime, here's a bunch of NoFX songs. And all of the bands got together and they played NoFX songs.
Cool. That's
actually
really
so
cool.
That's pretty badass. Cool. Like John, Goldfinger singer, what's his name?
John Fieldman or
Field? Yeah, John Fieldman.
Yeah.
So he Feldman. Was he Feldman.
Something
so
like that.
He started it off, and then all the other bands, like we're talking screamo, emo, heavy metal, death metal, all of these bands got together for 45 minutes playing NoFX songs.
That's
okay,
pretty
that's
cool.
That's actually pretty.
And
cool.
That is
and
awesome.
I've never had more fun. Like everybody was having fun, and then NoFX came on, and I'd never seen them before. And all I heard was like, "You either get a really shitty show, mm-hmm. or you get a really good show." And I don't know what it was. Maybe Fat Mike had like the best drugs on his flight over. But that honestly, I'm just watching NoFX. And had the best time of my life. Like, that's years later. Like, I'm talking this was just last summer, and I had the best time. They just kept playing, and playing. Now, he did the same joke, which, of course, that would be normal for Fat Mike. Right. He's like, okay, we just finished the song. Where's my money? Pay me. And then he would look at Kevin Lyman, and then he's like, okay, I'll play one more. And he killed the joke. Right, he did it, like, five times. But that's when I actually got a new appreciation for NoFX. And going back to my hatred for the Ramones, like the thing is, like,
wait, is it a hatred?
Yeah, like
or is
I
it
really
just you don't
like
their
them.
Music.
No, I just don't like their music.
It's just their music you don't like.
Yeah, I don't like their music. So I just
You are Johnny, so.
Yeah, I am a Johnny. So
you're Johnny.
I'm just so Johnny. So but the thing is, like, maybe if I had seen the Ramones, I might be speaking differently. Like, just like you guys talked about Queens of the Stone Age, where you liked a little bit of their music.
I actually really did like them.
And then you saw them and you're like, what the fuck? And then there have been bands that I have seen where I'm like, oh my God, I never knew they were this good. I need to start listening to them more.
Yeah.
And that's what's fun about when you see a musician, when you go to a concert, you actually get to experience that in that moment. And no one else can have that moment except you
in
that moment.
It's weird because you're in a room with, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of people, but it is a very personal experience.
Exactly.
Like, and it's something that you can't share. You can't reduplicate it.
No.
Even though when we went and saw Snoop Dogg, it was a very produced, it's the same shit. There's no banter to the crowd.
But
it's just
Snoop Dogg.
It's just a medley the whole time. It's a medley. But it's still a very personal performance. You know,
and,
like,
and we got to say we saw Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
And
I wanted.
First and foremost, okay, the Mountain View venue is one of the best venues I've ever been to.
Yeah, the amphitheater is beautiful.
Oh, I'm not gonna lie, when Temple of the Dog reunited for one night, did I openly weep at Mountain View? Yes, I did. And I saw Chris Cornell and Nine Inch Nails there. It was, oh, so many good things. But I would say, like, the thing about NoFX is that they broke my heart, because when I got into punk, I loved them. They were one of my favorite bands. And as time went on and this shit happened with Fat Mike, and he broke my heart, because I wanted to love them and I hated him.
I think that's a very, I would imagine that's a common thing, because mm-hmm. you think about it, back in the 90s, like when we got into this stuff, you had your gateway band, but then it was like, for me it was the Vandals first, but then it's like, you know, NoFX and Bad Religion and Rancid, and it was all those bands. And yeah, NoFX is a big part of that. And it sucks that he's such a piece of shit. It really sucks.
Yes. Do you know how much NoFX I listened to? Like, that was one of my gateway bands. And then I see them at Warped Tour and it's great. And then I see this video of him hurting a fan, and I'm like, how can I support a band and that's that
just
does
one,
that?
That's just one that got caught on video.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, and you that's know, only,
he,
yeah.
He would do way worse based on what they wrote about in the book.
Right. Oh, for sure.
And I'm just
for
like, it's one of those dilemmas where you like something so much, but then you overlook the things that you morally don't stand with. Like, it could be a sports team where somebody did something and you're like, I don't stand for that, but man, if you can win me a championship, right, that would just make me so happy. Or even a band, just like, you might actually not agree politically, but you just love their music. And that's what makes it so hard, is like, the person itself, you cannot always remember as just, that's your buddy. They are just another person who's doing a job that you just happen to appreciate at that moment. That's
sometimes it's sometimes it's harder than others to separate the art from the artist in everything.
Well, can I, maybe people will hate me when I say this, but growing up, I loved Michael Jackson. I loved him. And I still love a lot
nothing
of his
wrong with
music.
That.
Nothing wrong.
But he was a disgusting human. But I love his music. And it's the same thing with NoFX. I just, but once I saw that, I had an actual visual to it that I couldn't see it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think there are a couple things there. It seems to me that you probably had a more personal relationship with NoFX's music than you did with Michael Jackson's music.
Yeah, because I played it.
Right.
And played it.
There's also not video of him being a pedophile.
That's true.
But there's video of Fat Mike kicking this guy in the
or
face.
Or just being a piece of
shit. Or just being a piece of shit all the time. I mean, all the
or
time.
Or even watching Josh Homme kick that camera when it was to that girl's face.
Right.
It made me immediately hate him.
Exactly. And it's hard.
Anyone who can actually hurt a fan, fuck you. Like,
it puts
you're dead to me now.
What? True.
Here's where I am a giant hypocrite.
Let's hear it. What did Danzig do?
Yeah. What?
This is
what
not,
didn't he do?
Man, what wouldn't I give him to do it all to me?
Nope. Stop it.
I fucking love Pantera.
What did they do?
I love Pantera.
Now I need to know what Pantera
did. What did Pantera do?
They are a total white supremacist.
Did you know this?
Total racist. I mean, it's not.
I did not.
Their
know.
Music,
I did not
know their this. Music is not white supremacist. Like, they don't sing about it. But Phil Anselmo, the singer, is a total fucking racist. He's been recorded on stage doing the Sig Heil. This is after Pantera's been done because Dimebag Darrell's been dead for a long time.
I didn't know this.
That
he has been accused of it ever since they started. Ever since they started. He's wearing like white supremacist t-shirts. Like white supremacist group t-shirts on MTV and shit. And he always denies it. Like when he was recorded on stage doing the Sig Heil, he's like, well, it was an inside joke because we were drinking white wine backstage. It's like, dude, what the, what?
I'm confused.
And they always have Confederate flags. Like they're you know, their first mate, big record was Cowboys from Hell. So they're from the South and they love that kind of shit. They love like the Southern Confederate shit. And it breaks my heart. But God damn, if they didn't make some good metal music.
I have another one for you.
What?
The Vandals, who you love so much and you hate one of the band members.
I'm not a big fan of Joe. Joe is not.
The
Joe,
guitarist?
The bassist. He's the only.
Oh, the bassist.
He's the only original member left. Like, he used to be the drummer. He's done so many shitty things, it's not even funny. Like, he's a corporate lawyer. He loves Fox News. He's a conservative guy. That's fine. Whatever. Politics. I don't agree with the politics. That's fine. But he stole a bunch of money from the original band, and it led to the original singer killing himself. Like, it's a big thing, and he'll never admit he did anything wrong. They were the first band ever on Epitaph Records, and Brett Guritz, guitarist of Bad Religion, also the owner of Epitaph Records, gave Joe a check. He handed it to Joe. He will to this day say, yeah, I gave him the check for the band, and Joe just stole it all. He stole all the money.
Do you know how many times that happened in music promotion where the venue took so much money from the bands
Yeah.
That's I could imagine.
I always had cup of noodles and extra money so that they could get to the next city and have something to eat, because a lot of the times the venues stiffed them and they just played.
Well, and that's not like. Well, and that's bad enough, but this is a band member who, these are his friends.
Why?
These are his good people. Like,
why
these
was
are
it
his
given
friends.
To him?
That's because a- he was just, I don't know if he was just there or if he was the one handling that shit. I don't know what it was, but Brett gave Joe the cash. And I love the Vandals. The Vandals are like my all-time favorite band, except for the Misfits.
Nate, you saw Alan fangirl out to the Vandals.
Oh, you did see me fangirl out to the Vandals.
I was front row with Alan and just... the awe that I have.
I love the Vandals.
Seeing like Alan.
He fangirled out.
So happy. It's another world when they play. I have seen Alan happy 3 times.
Oh, well, let's hear. Let's hear.
The first one was when we came back, meaning the Utah Utes football team, beat Oregon football at home. The very next week was the second time Utah coming back to beat BYU football.
When we thought we were dead in the water.
When we thought we were dead in the water.
There's another one.
And then the third time was the Vandals.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen the guy more happy in
jumping.
Those 3 times.
It so was much amazing. Jumping, so much singing, so much arms in the
so
air.
Much happiness.
It takes a lot for me to say this. I don't like Joe. Like, Joe Escalante is just for that one. Maybe he's changed.
Maybe there's more of a story that we don't know.
And there might be. Very well might be. In fact, this iteration of the Vandals has been together ever since then, like since 1994. They haven't lost a member.
That's pretty good.
That's actually a good stretch.
Josh Freese, the drummer, like he drums for Sting, Guns N' Roses, Perfect Circle.
And he still comes back.
But he's still in the Vandals. Like, he's a big part of the Vandals. Yeah. So maybe there's something else there. Joe's not driving off these other guys. But just the fact that he stole all that money, never apologized, and led to Steve-O killing himself is the saddest thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can get over it.
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
It's a bad one.
See, that's a bad one. We all have our things where we don't know if we can get over it.
I know.
It's hard.
Can I give my last one?
Yes.
This is a long show. I'm sorry.
No, I'm excited
for this.
This
makes me happy.
Yeah.
My last one is something, it's maybe the most loved band of all time.
Oh, God.
Any guesses? Mm. Jess, you already know. I already told you.
I'm not going to say anything.
I need to know whether or not it's a punk, classic rock. No.
This is like of all time.
Of all time. Everybody,
the Beatles.
The Beatles.
I hate the Beatles.
I only like certain songs.
Dude, that's like an easy one. Like, everybody who loves the Beatles only likes the Beatles because they're told to like the Beatles.
And that's the thing.
I'm sorry. That's a fact.
The Beatles.
Wait.
You know what? You and James are best friends, because James is the only other person that I've ever met who doesn't like the Beatles.
It's...
other than me.
Okay, so the Beatles, I get it. They paved the way for...
It's like the Ramones.
I appreciate what you did. But could I sit down and just listen to the Beatles?
I wanna hold
Fuck
your
no.
Hand. I mean, give me a break. It's the dumbest.
I do like their remake of Twist and Shout.
I get that they kind of invented that, but it doesn't mean it doesn't suck.
Oh wait,
when people want to say that they were the inventors, they only did what Chuck Berry did.
True.
Like, that's true. Reality.
Shaking
like they just went
that's
out
true.
And they just perfected it on a mass scale. Well, meanwhile, Chuck Berry's still like traveling through these small venues just trying to make a living, and they're just making a killing because 4 white guys from London, England who look pretty.
I was gonna say the girls liked them.
Didn't see that one coming.
And the girls liked them.
Well, you know what's weird is that growing up, my brother used to replay one song that was a weird song, and now I love it because of it.
What?
Maxwell Silver Hammer. What is that? I don't think that's the name of the song. It's like Bang Bang Maxwell's Silver Hammer came down upon his head.
Oh God! Yeah, even just hearing sing it just makes me just
stop it.
And I was just about I was actually just about to say are some things I like about the Beatles until I heard that. I'm like, no, I don't think there is.
Don't shoot the messenger.
No, I'm not shooting you. I'm just saying. Even Yellow Submarine, I want to like that because it's trippy and it's when they were on acid and shit. But no, it's not good. It's not good music. It's not.
See, but do you know what?
They evolved, and maybe they got a little better, but it's still not good.
But I appreciate that song because it led me to my like creepy side that I'm like, oh my God, they're talking about murder with a hammer. And like, it was a really dark song.
Have you heard the new Amigo the Devil song?
No.
It's a cover of a Tom Jones song. And it's dark. Like, I didn't realize Tom Jones sang about dark shit.
I didn't either.
It's about murder.
Actually, no.
Nice.
Amigo sings about murder. Can you believe that?
No, nope. But fact.
No, false. Guess what? The concert.
Fake news.
One of the concerts that I went to at Mountain View had Tom Jones, and he was one of the funnest people I've ever seen live.
Did you throw your underwear up to him?
I thought about it. I really did. But I was like, I don't have a second pair on me.
Well, that's the point.
That's the.
I know. Yeah. But did I do.
She defeated the purpose. No, of but Tom did Jones. I do.
You overthought it.
Stop
didn't
it.
You, didn't you see the concert ticket where it said, you are liable to lose your did underwear? You?
Yeah. Well, but like. Did
like
I,
it's there in the ticket.
We are not held responsible for any lost underwear that you throw to the stage.
It's by the ocean. It got cold. But
and you can pick up your pair of underwear after the show if you would like.
In Tom's,
it's
like a, in it's Tom's like, private room.
It's like a hat trick in hockey. Like they throw their hats on the ice, but then they put it in a big bucket at the end so that you can go collect your hat.
Just, everyone's got to go into Tom just, in the green room with Tom and then you
and
can get
find
them,
your underwear.
Collect them on the way.
But did I do the Carlton dance while he sang? Yes, I did. Did I have a great time? Yes, I did. Was it super fun? Yes. But okay.
I bet Tom Jones would be great.
Oh, it was so much fun. I danced my little ass off. No, he had an intense facelift. I don't even know what's going on with it. But well,
I'm gonna Google it.
That voice is still there. But the Beatles, I don't know. I don't really have that hatred for the Beatles.
I think Jones is from Wales?
It's not
Wales.
Wales.
He's Welsh.
He's Welsh.
Oh my God. He's Welsh. I didn't know that.
So with the Beatles, it's one of those things where it's just like, because they're so big and you have to like them, that's the problem. It's not that like if they were just another
It'd be fine.
Like the Zombies from, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, where cool, you guys had some good songs. Nobody hates you because you're just like every other classic rock band. But the fact is they are the epitome of classic rock. If people come to you and ask, well, or you ask the person, what kind of music do you like? Oh, I like classic rock. Well, who's your favorite? Chances are it's going to be the Beatles.
Or Led Zeppelin.
Or Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin I like a lot.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's just with the Beatles, it's kind of like the go-to because everybody knows who the Beatles are. Right. Like you can name a bunch of Beatles songs, even if you don't listen to them. Zeppelin might be a little bit harder. Even you might not know Stairway to Heaven. That might be one where you're just like, I know the band, but I just can't name the song.
Right.
But
or
Beatles,
you might,
it's
you might
like
even know the name of the song, but you don't actually know the song.
Exactly. But then with the Beatles, you can name probably like four songs just because, oh,
Sergeant
there's that
Pepper
Beethoven,
sucks, man.
Like, and there's that Diamond Sky one, and there's that, like, that's just how the Beatles work. Like,
yeah,
everybody knows
I'm not
them.
A fan of the Beatles at
it's
all.
Okay.
Actually, the more I delved into Led Zeppelin, the more I liked them.
I didn't know
anything about them.
That's a band that's kind of the same thing to me. Like, I started to play the guitar, and I started to realize how good they actually are.
Well, and there was a few songs that my dad led me to, and I was like, wow, this is really,
they're really,
really
good. They're really good.
But not the same thing with the Beatles.
No.
Their hits were good.
I don't like, yeah.
But even the hits where you just like coming from a person who has to listen to music all the time, because in my profession, we always play music for people. And you have the choice. Of course, we could turn it off, but I like to listen to the music because it just kind of gives me something to do. Beatles, classic country, and probably like classical are the three biggest things to play. So I listen to the Beatles all the time. And every time I listen to them, it's the same thing. I'm just like, okay, I'm done with it. I'm just done.
I agree 100%. And I got one more.
Oh, Jesus.
It's one that.
Nate,
I'm sorry.
Told him one.
I know. I'm sorry.
I feel bad for having
to. We don't have to comment. We can just say agree, disagree. Okay? Like, we don't have to go on and on about this. Because I actually have to pee, but I do want to. I have to use the bathroom really bad. But I do want to also finish up with our positive thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to go to the positive.
I want
to
do that
after
too.
The pee break.
Who knows?
I'm dying.
This may be split up into like three different episodes because it's a long ass one.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Hey, that's okay.
So, my other one, we all came up in the 90s, right? I don't know if you were into it, but I know Jess was like the grunge scene.
Of course.
Nirvana, Pearl Jam, that whole thing.
I'm a little bit frightened about what he's
saying. I hate
say.
The Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, I knew he was going to say it.
He does hate the Smashing Pumpkins.
I knew he was going to say it too because I've talked to him about this.
It's Billy Corgan's voice. It's so annoying.
Yep. And actually, I can agree with that. I did go see Smashing Pumpkins. I had a very good time seeing the Smashing Pumpkins.
I did too. I thought they were incredible live.
But I cannot just sit down and listen to their music.
Oh, so bad.
I can. I don't know. I have a soft spot in my heart for the Smashing Pumpkins.
Really? That nasally?
Yes.
The world is a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there were so many times that I
That song is playing in your head right now. And tell me it's good.
The world is a vampire.
It's so boring.
No, I love that song. Oh, there's something about... I don't really like that song.
It's horrible.
Alan's hitting everything.
No,
actually
I have a soft spot
That's exactly
for,
what he sounds like.
Yeah. No, I have a soft spot for Smashing Pumpkins, and a lot of the times I drove from Montana to Salt Lake, which is about a 10-hour drive, they were on my playlist, and I like them.
I was hoping that she was going to say, I have a soft spot for shitty music. And I just don't know what
else
to say about it.
Do you know what? Do you know what, though? I am the bravest one to say, sorry, but I disagree.
Oh.
It's okay. You could be wrong. I still love you. It's okay.
Oh, my
God. You could be wrong. It's okay.
I'm going to throw things. You're
not
that far away.
We're not all perfect.
Don't ASMR me with your mustache, sir. Don't.
Wait, do you like Smashing Pumpkins?
So I can tolerate listening to the Smashing Pumpkins, and a lot of their stuff that you actually didn't hear on the radio is better. It's one of those bands where, like, if you actually listen to the other stuff, mm-hmm. you're like, why was this not popular? Why was this song not a hit? But it makes sense when you listen to it because it's just like, oh, it's not very radio friendly. It's just another song that Smashing Pumpkins did. But like I said, when I saw them live, I had a great time. I really did.
Such a good show.
Like, and I know Billy Corgan's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I've heard he's a diva.
Oh, just.
And for once, it doesn't factor at all into my assessment of the band.
No, yeah.
Usually that's the main thing that drives me towards hating a band.
No, but
it's just the music in this case.
Yeah, and I've talked to other people, and they said the same thing. Oh, too nasally. Oh, it's so annoying. Those people came to the show with me
and had
a great time.
It's possible. But
can I just sit in my car or sit in my house and listen to one of their albums? No. I'm going to be honest. There's no way I could sit through 12 songs of that. Now, if I'm on a shuffle play and it pops up, I'll listen to it. And it's not a big deal because I can enjoy it. But to sit from start to finish and listen to the entire album, I'm sitting there just like, okay, song 6, I'm done.
So
I will admit that a lot of my absolute favorite songs of theirs were B-sides. That were never released to the general public. But like those were my favorite.
A band just like Jess with Alanis Morissette. This is probably the band actually. This is more than the Beatles because the Beatles I can listen to.
Yeah,
I just think they're overrated.
Yeah, exactly.
But Smashing Pumpkins, if they come on the radio, I'm like I'm breaking windows to turn off the radio. Like if it's in my car. I'm outside for some reason. I'm smashing all the windows just to get in there and turn it off. It grates on me that bad. Fingernails on a chalkboard.
See, and there's two songs from their B-sides that were my favorite songs. One is
favorite.
I love
it. Wow.
Stop it. There's a song called "You're All I've Got Tonight" and "Clones," and you have to really dig to find them, and they're very good. So
now, by the way, people. Alan and I had a deep conversation about bands he hates, and Tool is one of them. And
Tool
I'm just gonna
is
say,
oh yes, that's true.
I'm just gonna say,
Tool is definitely at the top of the list.
That is about as blasphemy as I could even.
Oh, wait, rub
get
your mustache on the microphone.
Because everyone knows.
Sorry,
we're both doing it.
Everyone knows.
That
if
was
you
my
can't
nose.
Appreciate Tool. Then maybe you should just not have any opinion about music.
Maybe shouldn't have a music podcast.
I didn't say it.
They might.
That was other people. Other people said.
I'm almost the whole bottle of wine.
People tell you all the time.
Yeah,
they tell me all the time. If you're like Tool, yeah, you shouldn't have a music podcast.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
I just hear it on the streets everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go, the streets just.
Have you ever seen Tool live?
Yes, I've seen them twice.
I have too, and they're actually incredible.
And I'm not kidding. Last year when I saw them, it was the best concert I've
been to. They're incredible. I've never seen a crowd move the way I've seen at a Tool concert.
I'm sure it's a wonderful orgasmic experience for the ears.
He doesn't believe us, and he's not listening to us right now.
There is nothing.
It's just one ear.
There's nothing interesting or good about anything Maynard does.
Oh, I disagree.
So disagree.
I'm not going to do this on the show, but I am going to task you guys in explaining to me what is at all interesting or good about Tool. We're not going to do it now.
Layering.
But I got to use the bathroom so bad. I need to open up one more bit before we finish up.
Okay, pause.
With the positivity, because I've been very negative.
Yeah.
I own it.
Where have you
and
been?
I'm sorry.
Do you know what's cute?
I'm sorry.
Nate went the least negative. I went a tiny bit more negative. Alan went the most
Does
negative.
Does this surprise anybody,
Nobody's
though?
Surprised.
I'm
Does
not this, surprised.
This is exactly...
I'm all about PMA and these guys here that I'm trying
Here's
to like bring up. Oh, well,
I'm about PMA, too.
Wait, he just rolled up his
sleeves,
you guys. I'm intimidated.
I'm about PMA, but it's a lot more work for some of us than others. I'll just say that. Some of us have to work a lot more. That's why I came up with the idea, and I'm going to own this, for ending it on a positive note. Okay. Because you know what?
You know what? We were very proud of him.
I was a proud parent until now. until Tool, I was just... Look, he had me on a lot.
You were vibing with me for the most part.
I was okay with a lot of the disagreements that we were having.
Even the NoFX thing, you kind of came around on my side a little bit.
I was okay with it, but this Tool,
See,
I'm walking out on this one.
We had this great moment where I ran out to get pizza, and I got Este Pizza, which is a local pizza
Wonderful.
Company that is absolute. We ate the entire thing.
We did.
And Alan said, how about we end it with a positive note? And Nate and I were both shocked.
It's
shocked because it's usually us.
I'm trying to turn
look at
over
Nate's
here.
Giving him dad eyes.
I don't even. I'm so proud of my son right now.
I get in trouble when I talk about my love for Danzig. So apparently,
it gets really.
Apparently, positivity is only okay in some cases.
It gets really descriptive and intense in a.
It's kind of a creepy, like stalkerish way.
A little bit.
I'm not going to deny it.
Like Ted Bundy did some of the things that you're talking about.
Well, I'm not serious when I say I want to kidnap him and throw him in my
Ted
sex
Bundy
dungeon downstairs.
No, wait, Nate, look at me. Do you think he's serious?
It's very likely.
The world may never know. Here's the thing.
I'm pretty sure we will.
Let's take a break.
If you ever met him, he might be serious.
Let's take a break. There is a another Suicide Machine song I want to play. Please don't sue us. We do it out of love.
Suicide Machines, we love
it's
you.
It's from the upcoming
In
record.
In fact, we would like to interview you. So
yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's from the upcoming record. This song's called Awkward Always. Let's talk music to me. We'll be right back.
I'm not afraid to die.
I got a couple more questions just to round this off with you.
Absolutely.
So we were talking, I guess it'd be in the last episode, that we're talking kind of our history with punk rock music and how we came into it and how it affects our lives now that we're older. And so you're a professional. You don't have kids.
Nope.
But I got to think that it has somehow shaped your worldview. Like getting into, not necessarily punk rock, but music in general, how has it shaped your worldview?
Back in 1999 at Brix, when I saw H2O, as I mentioned earlier, when I saw Toby and the passion that they had towards their music, it made me like finally get the scene of punk music.
Mm-hmm.
But
was that when they
toured with Anti-Flag?
Yeah, yep. I remember that. I was at that show.
Yeah, great show. So anyway, that moment also had a part where Toby was actually speaking to the crowd, and he was talking about positive mental attitude and all the things that just make you who you are. Start to believe in yourself. Start to focus on being a better person. You don't need outside influences to tell you to be a good person. You just need to actually believe in it. And by him speaking to me when I was only 16, 17 years old, that changed my life. I'm not kidding. To this day, I still think about him talking to me in my most vulnerable state. And now today, when I actually go to a concert and whenever I actually hear people talk about their views, I respect that more than anything. And it takes a lot of guts because sometimes people aren't going to agree with you, especially in today's landscape. Right. A lot of people might be disagreeing with each other, but I love when a band actually has the balls to actually come out and say what they believe in, because if you really, really technically want to change the world, and music can change a lot of the way people think and the way that people feel, if you really believe in it, put it out there and actually own it. Like, there's a band that I love from New Jersey, and it's called Sammy K. He came out with a Kickstarter fund program where he was actually coming out with this album called Civil War. He's really, really left. So obviously you can tell the kind of politics I believe in. So he comes out with this album and he's putting it out there with like merchandise. He's signing autographs, doing all the things. He went on people's websites like Facebook, Instagram to just kind of get a feel of who he's sending his his product to. And then he sent out this big old Facebook post that he said, "Hey, if you didn't get my merchandise and you got a refund instead, it's because I don't believe in what you believe in."
Wow.
If you do not actually believe what I'm trying to promote right now, I don't want you to follow me. I don't want you to go to my shows. I don't want you to even listen to my music. And that took a big toll on me, where I was like, this guy, his living is based on sales. And he actually took that risk. And I truly respect that, only as for myself, I never would ever in a million years think of doing that. Like going to a concert, if the person that I'm actually seeing, they don't align politically with me, I'd be like, oh, that's okay. I still like your music. He did the opposite.
Could he be missing an opportunity there?
Oh, absolutely. He could have been missing an opportunity.
Not just to make money, but just to also maybe start. I mean, you're never going to outright change someone's mind.
No,
right?
Like, yep.
Your politics, your politics. But people who have switched, it starts with the kernel. Like, it starts with one little thing that builds on. Could he be missing?
He could have been missing.
On helping someone come to his way of thinking?
Exactly. Like, I really believe in that. I really believe that he could have been missing out on something, but I think he was just trying to prove a point, like, hey man, you post really bad stuff. Do not come to me and try to pretend like we agree when you obviously aren't getting what I'm trying to say to you. Like, I put out my music for a message and you're not getting that message.
So did he go to each person's like profile? and like looked at it.
That's dedication.
Yeah. Hey, Jinx.
But that's one of those things where like I went to a concert where the band came out, and this was just after 2016. A lot of people obviously were on edge, especially in the punk scene, by the way. I mean, if you really think about what they stand for, it's equal rights, you know, equal pay. Let's treat everybody with respect.
Right.
For the most part, that's what you go to shows and you hear a lot of people talk about. And this one band, they were just too afraid to even promote that. They were just like, I know that some people are talking about this, and what's going on is none of our business.
Do you want to mention who it was?
It was Face to Face. And I was super pissed about it because I was like, dude,
this is an opportunity.
Now is your opportunity to prove a point. And I was so mad about it. Millen Collins had shown up, I think it was like 2 or 3 months prior to them. They're from Sweden. And they came over and they were like, I'm kind of ashamed what's going on right now in your country. And, you know, people were just kind of like odd. They were just stunned. Like, whoa. You guys are judging us from afar. And they said, look, we're all on the same network, people. This is a global network. We're all trying to do what's better.
It's our scene. Like, there are local scenes, but the world we live in today is so intertwined. Just, it's so easy to connect with each other.
Exactly.
That it's all one global scene now.
Exactly. And that's what they were just trying to say is like, hey, let's all start talking about the issues. Let's all start trying to come up with a solution rather than let's just yell at each other. Nobody gets anything out of it. And then they walk away more pissed off than when they even came to the party or to the conversation. And so like when I go to concerts and when somebody actually speaks something, I listen. I love when a band actually opens up about something. Like Frank Turner, he was talking with the whole Make American Great song he came out with and the Be More Kind album. When he came on tour a little bit after 2016, I think it was 2017 at the Urban Lounge, he just like totally laid it into us. Like, hey guys, I came out with this because of these reasons. Oh, no, wait. Actually, that was at the Red Butte Gardens. So that's when Be More Kind came out, and he talked about the Be More Kind song. He's like, hey, I just wrote this. And that album actually wasn't supposed to come out. It was supposed to be the other one with the female theme.
Oh, that was written before it.
That was written before, but because Be More Kind, he knew that that's what we needed.
Right.
That's why he put that one out first, and then No Man's Land came out after. So like he did a good thing by explaining to the crowd when he was at that show. He's like, look, a lot of things are going on right now, and I know that we all disagree, but there's one thing that we should all be focusing on, and that's Be More Kind. We just need to be kind to each other. That's all.
I love it.
And he sang that song. Becky cried throughout the entire thing.
I would have too.
And I was just sitting there just like, as these people are just drunk and idiotic and just yelling stupid shit. And I'm just sitting there like, this is why I love music. This was it. The moment when you just realize these are the things that I go to concerts for.
So what if you went to see a band and they started talking about preaching politics that you don't agree with?
I would actually listen to it. That's the thing. Like, I'm all open for listening. Now, I might get angry inside, and I might even like, if other people were booing, of course I would have to join the masses. You know, you just have to do that.
Peer pressure,
right? But the thing is, like, if somebody wants to express a reason why you believe in that, okay, go for it. But then that might actually persuade me otherwise. That actually might get me off course. And I might actually not continue to listen to them as greatly as I did before.
Right.
Because the thing is, with me, I really stand by what I believe in. I really do. And a lot of people think I'm crazy for some of the things that I believe in. But if I find out that they're really, really pieces of shit, I definitely don't stand for that. And I kind of sway away from it. Now I might listen to a song here and there and it's like, okay, but I definitely fall away from them. Like when I heard about Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins, after that I was just like, cool, I saw you live, but now you're just kind of another band to me.
Right.
I'm not going to go out of my way to listen to you, but you're just another band to me.
This goes back to that whole thing we were talking about with the separating the art from the artist type of thing. Did you have you guys seen the uproar over Garth Brooks?
No, what's going on with Garth Brooks? Is he still alive?
Yeah, he had a great concert I went
to.
He's
very much alive.
Oh, what did he do now?
Is he the one who did Boot Scoot Boogie?
No, that's Brooks and Dunn.
He walked in. He was playing in Detroit, and he walked into the stadium wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. Well, can you imagine? And there was just a photo of him on his Instagram with a jersey that says Sanders. So can you imagine what his base thought?
Oh.
They thought he was wearing a Bernie Sanders jersey.
Not a Barry Sanders.
Not a Barry Sanders jersey.
They couldn't put two and two together. God.
No. But the reason why I bring this up is not to make fun of them, because...
Can I make fun of
them?
Is,
no. Let's make fun of them.
It is pretty fucking funny that's the first thing they go to. Like, it's pretty funny. But they just for a minute, let's just put ourselves in their shoes... They thought he was supporting a candidate that they think is reprehensible.
Correct.
That they think is disgusting. Kind of the way people we know think of how Trump is, you know?
Correct.
And so they were like, you lost a fan. A lot of people are posting like, you lost a fan. How could you do this? They didn't bother to look and see maybe if there was a football player who happened to be named Barry Sanders.
That you would wear a jersey for?
Maybe one of the greatest running backs of that
city. Probably the greatest of that era.
Is Bernie Sanders a football player?
Exactly. It was a football jersey. So, but they were kind of, they did that thing like, we've lost a fan. You've lost a fan. And I'm a liberal person. But I understand when conservatives, when you know the big tough guys like to call liberals snowflakes, I kind of get what they're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Because liberals can be very thin-skinned. But the thing is, the other side is just as thin-skinned.
Just as bad.
Just as thin-skinned. So, and I guess it kind of ties into a little bit what we were talking about was those people obviously have no problem saying, well, you disagree with me politically, so I'm dropping you,
yep.
Whether it's true or not.
I mean, it's like the Dixie Chicks who basically got banned.
Yeah, from
America.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they decided that they didn't support the president.
Right.
And fast forward a couple of years later, and everybody else was joining in on the bandwagon of not supporting George Bush.
I was going to say, I recall a Pearl Jam concert that was a Pearl Jam song that was against him.
So,
well, but the thing is, like, the Dixie Chicks are country.
Yeah.
Like that's straight up conservative town, you know. Like that's
you don't
just
do
like
that.
Garth Brooks. And if you had to just put a gun to my head and say guess Garth Brooks's political affiliations, I don't think he's voting for Bernie Sanders.
Not gonna probably assume Bernie. Yeah.
I think he's probably
a
MAGA.
He's wearing a shirt. Exactly. That says Sanders. It must be Bernie.
But
Sanders.
I do gotta say Barry Sanders and Garth Brooks handled it awesome.
What'd
because
they do?
Barry Sanders says because with all the uproar, Barry Sanders says. He tweeted at Garth Brooks and said, hey, Garth, you want to be my VP? And then Garth Brooks says, I'd run any race with you, Barry.
Like, that's adorable. It was perfect. Good job, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
See,
so.
At least they did the right thing. They took a situation and rather than expressing ignorance, they just like, hey, let's make a joke out
of it. Exactly. It was fun.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I definitely don't align politically or morally with every single person, especially the people that I listen to, the bands that I go see. I can guarantee you the ones who aren't saying anything are the ones that I don't align with. That's just probably a fact.
Right. There's a reason why they're not saying anything
when everyone else is saying something.
Right.
So if you're not saying anything, then chances are you're probably afraid of what the repercussion might be.
Yep.
And that's okay because they make a living off of that. For me, I make a living as well.
You're not going to go into your job and be like, hey, fuck Trump or fuck Bernie Sanders.
You don't.
You're going to go in there. You don't. There's a time and a place for that kind of thing.
Yes.
And it's not at the workplace.
Yeah. Exactly. And I understand musicians, a lot of people do make their living on that, but some people choose to avoid it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with avoiding it. But when you really get down to the brass tacks, just like Toby did, he went not on political agendas, he went on moral agendas. Just be a good person. Stop being an asshole. Start treating people the way that they should be treated. If you do that, treating them equally, guess what? You're going to be treated just as respectfully. And that's what I love when bands do, is when they target their audience. And I have friends and family who have told me about other concert experiences that they've gone to where I don't like the music, but they'll tell me an experience of like where they're talking about autism and what they're trying to promote for, like, hey, these people are different, but we have to remember that they are just like you and I, and we can have the same conversation that we're having about this now with those people, but you just have to do it more gently. What's the problem with that? And like, it's such a cool dynamic to just be like, okay, I don't agree with the music you make, but man, you at least said something positive. You told the fan base to be a better person. That's all I care about. I agree. And honestly, like, there was a Neil deGrasse Tyson podcast that he did, and he interviewed God. Yeah, he interviewed God.
Wow. I have to listen to it.
It's the best podcast I've ever listened to. If you just Google search that, you'll definitely get a hit on it.
Things I'm going to do after this
podcast. But guess what? Guess what God's number one commandment that he wished he could go back and do?
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be a dick.
Okay.
Don't be a dick.
Okay, so I
don't be a dick was it.
Because that's your religion, Jess.
That's my religion.
Don't be a dick. And you know what? I have to give a shout out to Pearl Jam, because for years and years and years, they said, we formed a new religion. It's called Don't Be an Asshole.
Yeah.
And seriously, it's, you should have some sort of compassion and try not to be such a horrible human being in this world. And I think that PMA is a good platform for it. I think that we've been trying to get to some sort of platform to explain it. And so I give shout outs to the people who actually spent time to look into it and actually find a way to explain why you shouldn't be an asshole or to not be a dick.
I love the idea of PMA. And I wasn't joking earlier when I said it takes a lot more work for some of us than others.
Yeah.
I'm just hardwired into the negativity, and it's something I'm trying to work on. You guys are just like bubbly, positive people. And I look up to that a lot. But for me, it's fucking hard to do that all the time.
Yeah. And you know what? There's something to be said about Nate and I tend to be bubbly, happy humans. We can't help it. We just are that way.
That's why I hang around you guys.
I know. That's why we're fun. You know what I mean?
We bring up people.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah.
And there are others that, I mean, the way that you speak to yourself really determines the way that you treat others. And
that's true. That's true.
And so you have to think about, who do you spend the most time with? And if it's you and you're speaking very badly to yourself, you're going to speak badly to others. And that was something that in the PMA book that they bring up. And and it's
very good.
Part of a lot of books. Like, how do you speak to yourself? Now, how do you speak to other people? And it's a self-awareness that I think a lot of people don't have.
I agree.
And if we did have that and some gratitude, we'd be in a completely different world.
I agree. 100%. Okay. So on that note, on that note, on the whole positivity thing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
We're segueing.
Let's talk about some bands.
It's almost like he's been in podcasting for like a
decade. It's almost like he knew
for
that
10
we were.
Years.
Yeah.
10 fucking years. Ask me how much money I've made off this.
Hey,
Alan.
Don't ask me.
How much money have you and Deuce made?
A big fat cry myself to sleep at night.
Oh, that's a lot.
I'm working on it.
A lot of money. Yeah. I'm just joking. I do it for the love of it. But let's talk about some bands we love. And again, it can be, I kind of sprung this on you guys last minute. It can be a band that's super popular that everyone loves. It could be a band that nobody knows and you think more people should listen to. It could be whatever you want.
I've got two bands.
This made me really happy.
As many bands as you want.
I've just got
as many bands as you want. I got a couple.
I've got two.
Okay. Start us off, Nate.
Number one is Strike Anywhere.
Ooh,
yes.
Good band.
Yes.
Strike Anywhere, who I am going to be seeing in Vegas. I'm so stoked.
At they punk only... rock car- or punk rock punk bowling. Rock bowling.
Oh my god, you'll have to tell us how it is because
I'm so stoked.
We decided not to go to that because we're gonna be putting our money elsewhere.
Yes, yeah. For the cruise. But
yep. Which you're coming.
Hey, maybe in the 40.
Dude, the Descendants and Bad Religion are playing.
This is such a bad year, guys. Come on, be honest. No. It's only got two bands.
Look at Alex.
I'm so sorry.
The devil. I have the lineup.
There's Attack. I get it. Like the Attack or whatever.
But it's
like,
Bad Religion.
It's Bad Religion.
It's Greg
Molly.
Greg Graffin.
Flogging Molly
things.
Throws the stupid thing. I know. Of course they're going to be there.
Always
That's
amazing.
Just the first band. They're always great.
Okay. We've all yelled.
The Descendants. The fucking Descendants.
Yes. We saw them. And we saw them at the Complex like not even a couple of years ago. Continue.
It's the Descendants.
Continue. Milo. Yes.
Epic.
Epic.
Bad Religion.
Yes. Okay.
The Devil Makes Three.
Yeah.
You don't know? Do you know who they are?
Yeah, I've heard
of them.
But
amazing.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
They're like a country band, but they're so good.
They're funk.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Which of? Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Frank Turner's gonna be back on the boat with Mongol Horde.
I didn't know that was his other band.
I didn't
Alan
know that, that was
the
his
Bunny
other
Gang.
Band.
Bunny Gang
Never
is actually
heard of Bunny Gang.
Bunny
Authority
Gang
Zero
changed my life on the first. Yeah.
The Cherry Cokes.
Yeah, Cherry Cokes.
Punk Rock Karaoke.
Punk Rock Karaoke.
The
cool.
Attack, Brogue Wave, and many more to come.
Yeah.
They better
this
give
is
them
a great lineup.
Hey.
I've heard a couple people say this is a shitty lineup. This
Hold
is a,
on. No.
This is like.
Because it's got Bad Religion. Wait. And its Descendants.
But here's the thing.
But after
I've
that.
I've seen Bad Religion so many times. Like, I'm okay with that. The Descendants, though.
Wait.
The fucking Descendants.
Get some women. Bands
yeah,
on
that
the
is very
cruise,
true.
Please.
I'm telling you.
God
the
damn,
Bunny
it.
Gang,
damn it.
The Bunny Gang is fantastic.
Yeah, they really are. Great.
That's okay. Nathan Maxwell who plays
he's
bass.
The,
and,
oh,
and
Nathan Maxwell,
Molly.
Yeah.
And he's one of the sweetest human beings you'll ever meet.
Anyway, all right.
Okay, sorry.
So Strike Anywhere.
Yes.
Strike Anywhere.
Okay.
And the Flatliners.
Ooh.
So my son Luke fucking loves the Flatliners. It's a band that he can't stop talking about.
Oh, I love them.
And
it comes up on
them.
All of
this
my recommendations.
This is a band that every time I hear them, I'm like, who is this?
Yeah.
They are great. Mm-hmm. And I think I even have one or two of their CDs. And for some reason, I just haven't like dove into them.
Oh.
But everything I've ever heard from them are amazing.
Fabulous.
So the reason why I use Strike Anywhere, because they're a band that they don't really make music anymore. They just do tours.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. The Flatliners are a band from Canada who just kind of are out of the scene enough so that like those who know them just are obsessed with them.
Right.
And then when you see them perform, you're like, oh my God, I get it. But they're just enough to keep going. And that's what's frustrating. It's like they are a band who's either going to make it or break it. And that's what pisses me off.
Right.
It's like there are so many bands right now where I look at and I say, how the fuck do you still make money when this band is no more? Because it's just that like scene.
Right.
And
right.
So the Flatliners are a part of that. Are they punk? Are they not? I don't know. But Strike Anywhere, oh, they're so punk, but they're such a big band that they only tour when they just feel like it.
Strike Anywhere is so good. Gosh, I wish I could remember that one record they had.
Dead FM?
Yes, Dead FM.
I mean, like Exit English.
Yeah, they're
I mean,
so good.
Iron Flag or whatever it is. Oh, like they've got just everything that they came out with. It was just like one on top of the other of amazing albums. And then the Flatliners, what they did was they started out as like kind of a shitty Canadian punk band, and then they progressed, and then they came out with Great Awakening, and then from that it was like an explosion. It's like Cavalcade, and then they came out with Division on Soil or something like that. But then their last record, it was a little bit more mainstream, so a lot of people just kind of fell off of it. But if you actually listen to it, it's just amazing. Just amazing. I love it.
See, now
so those are my two.
That
I
makes
love
me
it.
Want to get into
and
the
I get
flat
to see
liners.
Them both at Punk Rock Bowling, by the way.
We need a full report.
With the unseen people. Yeah, they are also going to be there.
We need a full report.
I didn't know
report.
They were still around.
Yeah, they only, same thing. They just only come around for like a festival here and there.
So we're going to interview Nate when he gets
pretty much. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're going to miss out on the best punk rock bowling with the Messengers, Bouncing Souls.
Oh, I love
them. Bouncing Souls.
That hurts me a little bit.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Okay.
All right, Jess. Okay.
So I was thinking about it. And again, I was woefully unprepared because I was buying pizza. But the first bands that came to my brain were Teenage Bottle Rocket because yeah. I can't get enough of them. And I love them.
They're fun.
I followed them on Instagram and I'm kicking myself because they came to Urban Lounge and I don't remember what was going on, but yeah, we couldn't make it.
But we did see them open for the motherfucking Aquabats.
Oh, and I remember
they were so good.
The lead singer was walking by with a Skiba shirt and I stopped and I was like, nice shirt. And they killed it. And the more I get to know them, the more I freaking love them. I need more Teenage Bottle Rocket in my life. And then the other one is I love the Bomb Pops.
Yeah, the Bomb Pops are a fun band.
Just a
shout out. That drummer. That fucking drummer. And we've talked about it before, but they are he is amazing. He's next
level. He's one of the best drummers I've
ever seen. I've never seen a drummer that good live. Like just what the shit he was doing and the way he was playing, and it was at Kilby Court, so it was super small and we had a clear view. It was amazing.
It was dude, and I was going to say, the more I get to know the band, the women are badass.
The more you get to know them?
Yes.
Or know of them?
Sorry, Instagram. Well, I want to give a shout out to Polly because she's a guitarist who is type 1 diabetic. And I started like following her on Instagram. She actually writes back to me sometimes when I...
Nice.
And I just like love her. And she... I think it's Double Arrows Down just came out and it's one of the best songs I've ever heard. And I love it. And she talks about being a type 1 diabetic and how scary it is to check your levels. And I just think they're badasses. And
yeah, they're great.
The
they're
more
great.
I listen to them, the more I like them. And the more I learn about them, the more I like them. And so those are two bands that I would love to have more of in my life. So I'm trying to implement them and they're great live. And so I think that they need to finally break it and make it and be making the money they should deserve. But that sucks for me because then I can't see them in small venues, but still. They're awesome people.
That's
and
kind of a trade-off we have to go through, unfortunately.
I just think that, you know, Instagram's awesome because you get to see something about these people and they're lovely humans. And so I just like them as humans and then they make incredible music. So I dig them. So
I like
more of those two bands.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have got a couple.
Ooh.
The first one is...
Of course he has a couple.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's always
like
about
Aaron. Sorry,
it's
always
about
me.
Oh, sorry, everyone. That's right. I mean, I'm going to put a restriction on these two. You guys,
I'm going to make a whole list for myself.
You guys can only have two, but I'm going to have like 10.
It's almost like...
That's such a Danzig in so many ways.
Where do you think I learned it? Where do you think I learned it?
It's like...
And we're talking about PMA and being like, you know, nice to people. Yeah. And Alan's like, by the way, I have a whole list.
By the way, your list sucked, but we're just going to go through mine now. That's all I needed to get through.
I'm so glad you guys have two, but here's my 10.
I'm so glad you guys showed up for this, by the way. That was so nice of you.
Thanks for coming and making me look better. I appreciate it.
Oh, but
thanks.
Now it's my show. Yeah, exactly. So in your face.
This is why I have like 5 or 6 podcasts. It's always about me.
It's always about Alan.
You know, the first one I'll say, I don't want to go too deep.
Going all Alan.
I don't want to go too deep because we're supposed to keep it positive, but Off of Their Heads. But I love them. They're just depressing.
But they're
so good.
Their
so
music
good.
Is so good.
But the lyrics are very depressing. And even if you don't listen to the lyrics when you listen to them, it's going to seep into your head subconsciously.
Which is what happens to me.
I know.
Because I'm listening
sad,
to the music.
But they are really, really good. Okay.
They're really good.
Dillinger 4.
Oh, yeah.
I love those guys.
Dillinger 4 never got.
Oh, so good.
Oh,
Civil
you would
War. Guess I'm
going
to have to
listen
now.
To the
you
record
would actually
Civil
really
War.
Love them,
really,
I
really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, really good.
Okay.
Yeah, they're right up your alley, actually. I think you'd like them.
I would say I'm that they're in the
I know the name. Yeah, like I know the name, but I just never listened to
love
them. That's
love
so
them, love
funny.
They
love
always
them.
Come up with the Flatliners, actually, whenever I'm getting recommendations.
They're very similar. Yeah. I mean, sound wise, yeah. Obviously, Fucked Up, like we talked about. Different. It's not punk. It's not hardcore. it's like noise.
Yeah,
indie,
noise.
Indie,
actually, noise. Yeah,
noise indie rock type ish thing. Yeah,
Little Yellow Different.
Yes, exactly. But I would recommend David Comes to Life. It's a rock opera. The whole thing is incredible, start to finish. Okay, my real one though. This is the one I wanted to get to.
Okay,
Propagandi. We were talking about politics.
We did.
This is a band. This is a band that basically got me, like, planted the seed for me to be to sprout into what my political back beliefs are, and it kind of came from Propagandi. These guys are fucking amazing.
I will also be seeing Propagandi, by the way.
Never seen them.
Are they playing?
I have never seen
them. No, are they?
Same Propagandi.
No, seriously?
They're playing punk rock bowling?
They are playing the punk rock bowling.
They have avoided those festivals like the plague.
Are they really?
They've never played Warped Tour. In fact, they wrote a whole song about how shitty Warped Tour is.
Do we have to go now?
Yeah, no. I think you just
Alan, okay, wait, hold on.
Shit.
I'm going to be selfless. Do we need to send you?
Yeah. No, I'm Propagandi.
Hey, will you take care of him?
Yeah, well, okay. I go to bed at 10. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, but I don't think.
I don't know if you can.
They never come here.
Wait, hold on. I don't think you can miss Propagandi.
No. Yeah, they play around. There are other shows. Anyway, we'll talk about it.
Yes.
But this is a band that gets better with every release, and see, there aren't many bands like that.
And that's kind of the fun thing about, like, if you started with the band and then you actually like see the progression of that band,
yeah,
and you can get mad when they come out with a new album or an album that's just like totally opposite of what you expected, and that's okay, but then you find an appreciation for that album and then they totally turn it on you and do a totally different album. Oh, interesting. Festival main stage Saturday, 6:25 to 7:05. Propagandi.
I cannot believe they're playing.
I can't believe I'm going to go see
them.
They
don't like, they never play those festivals.
With the Circle Jerks.
Oh, man, this is so weird.
Think about it. It'd be like a 40-minute set because that's what they play at festivals. That's what every band plays. Yeah. Shit. That sucks. God damn it. All right.
But that's what's fun. I mean, like going to talk about another band, and I only became obsessed with them after I saw them. I did like their music before when I was actually like, okay, I'm going to be going to the Warped Tour. I want to kind of experience some new bands. I want to check out some other bands than what I'm supposed to. And then when I saw them, I was just like blown away by them. I was just like, this band could be the next big thing, and that's Bad Cop, Bad Cop, the all-female.
Yeah,
just,
and I haven't seen
fucking
him
fucking amazing. You're gonna see him with MXPX.
I know.
So
I bought
cool.
the tickets, not admittedly for Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Oh, absolutely. That's okay. That's fine. Yeah.
I was like, I can't miss seeing them because Nate has talked about how great they are.
I cannot shut up about them because
I'm really excited.
They just, oh my god.
You were at Warped Tour texting us saying you guys can never miss Bad Cop, Bad Cop next time they're in town. So I bought the tickets. We're going.
I skipped. I forget which main stage. So of course they put like two stages, main stage. I forget which band I skipped, and I was so happy I did because I just sat there watching them, and they were just killing it, and they were like 50 people going nuts.
Was
and
it the starting line? No.
No. I saw the starting line. No. It was another, like, just kind of a pop punk band that's super big. And I was just so happy that I chose to sit through them because I was like, oh my God, this band is so good. I went to their merch tent, bought all the shit that I could. And then the guy, he's like so cool. He's like, you know, they're going to be back here like in an hour. So if you want to come back, and I'm like, fuck, that's like right during this set. Right. I think it was Jawbreaker or something. And I wanted to see Jawbreaker, even though I was a little disappointed by them. But then I was just like, I've got to stay. It's Jawbreaker.
It's Jawbreaker. Right.
And how many times are you going to be able to say, I saw Jawbreaker?
Well, and another reminder is if you really want to support your favorite band, buy their merch.
Oh, always.
Because that generally goes mostly to them. Sometimes there's a percentage to the venue, but mostly it's
But in
to
that
them.
Case, I think it just goes straight to them because it's just like, okay, we're paying for you to be here, but I mean, you're bringing in the fan base so that we can sell food, drinks, all this shit. And I mean, you're going to overpay every time.
Yeah.
Like, I think I paid $30 for two CDs and I'm like, worth it.
Yeah,
didn't even
totally
care.
Totally.
Yeah,
right.
And sometimes it's absolutely worth it if you can support a band. Ellen's actually quite sweet about that with
Ellen's
bands.
Probably the best type of music fan a band wants.
What was the one band like, that you were? Always. They just came up to me. They came up to you and said, "Hey, do you want to buy a vinyl?" And you're like, "Sure." You didn't even hear them.
Oh, that was a local band actually.
Yeah,
that was at the Masked Intruder
show. Some Bears.
Wicked Bears.
Oh, Wicked Bears.
Wicked Bears.
Yeah, man.
I have their vinyl. I haven't even listened to it,
dude. It's actually good. They're good.
Well, we missed them. Like, we didn't see them, so I didn't hear them. And I was actually buying another opener. I can't remember. Maybe it wasn't the Bomb Pops.
Yeah, it was the Bomb Pops with the Masked Intruders.
Well, yeah, and Masked Intruders. But there was another band. There were four bands total.
Okay.
And I was buying
another
vinyl.
Band.
And then the Wicked Bears guy's like, "What? You want to buy ours?" I was like, "Yeah, I want to buy ours."
Alan is the sweetest human. Even at the Toasters, he bought the opening band stuff.
They were good, but I shouldn't have bought all that stuff.
A sweet human.
Just a sweet soul.
I have about 3 hours now that would disagree with you recorded on tape. So
that's true.
Me just bitching about everything under the sun. I think that's a good place to end it, Nate.
I think it is too.
Thanks
you
for coming,
so
man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out for
you did
so
it right.
long.
I'm sorry that you had to tolerate all of this.
Oh, dude.
Is it
so much fun. No,
Ellen,
not
is
at
it
all.
Tolerating?
Not at all.
Or do we adore him?
No.
Oh, dude. Anytime.
We adore him.
Anytime. The website, talkmusictomeslc.com. There's all of our social media, everything you would like, including all the playlists. We'll put some bands that we talked about today. We'll put the bands we liked on the playlists.
Oh, my God. So many bands.
You can
so
find many. It. We have a Google Play Music playlist, and we have, of course, a Spotify playlist.
Yes, and I will update that. It's been a hot minute.
It has been a minute. We'll do all that. We are back. We're going to be recording more regularly.
We're back.
We're back for sure. So,
as the guest.
If you would like to get in touch with us, head over to talkmusictomeslc.com and find our contact information there. I think that's going to do it. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Maureen out.
Yes, Pantera. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, what's going on here?
Don't worry about it. It's time for rock and roll. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
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 Hey, buddy. Does this Pantera guy ever relax?
I don't think so. This guy's dad must have kicked his ass when he was a kid.
Yeah, really. He was like, "Damn it, Pantera, this beer is warm. Get me another one."
Yeah. He was like, "You treat your stepmother with respect, Pantera. Or you'll be sleeping in the street."
Yeah. He's like, "Damn it, Pantera, I told you to get out there and mow that lawn." Oh, what's this? Is that a tear, Pantera? Oh, is Daddy's little girl upset?
This has been a Studio B production.